Conflict can be an opportunity for growth, says former public school teacher Paul Flesher. He spent decades facilitating conflict resolution workshops, and he works with both teachers and students through the Richmond Peace Education Center. Flesher brought two students into the WCVE studios to talk about their initiatives. Kevin Amoroso is a 7th grader at Elizabeth Davis Middle School, and Maida Majetti is a 9th grader at Millsy Godwin High School. They're both members of the Richmond Youth Peace Project. Paul Flesher started by talking about the center's trainings for educators.
We train teachers in various conflict resolution techniques, specifically when conflicts arise in their classroom between their students, which inevitably happens, that rather than impose a solution on the kids, we offer them ways that they can encourage the kids to work through their own conflicts and come to a solution themselves. When they can do that, a couple of things happens. One, it's more likely that a solution to the conflict will stick, and the kids will stick with their solution to the conflict. If you just simply try to impose a solution on kids, it's likely to last only as long as that authority figure is present in the room. And then also, kids, when they learn techniques for solving their own problems, they can then apply that again, and it's teachers then have fewer conflicts to deal with because the kids learn to handle it themselves.
You do specialty workshops for new public school hires. Walk us through what the participants learn during these sessions.
Sure. So we've been doing conflict resolution workshops for newly hired Richmond public school teachers for the past 7 years. And we spend a half a day with them. And during the course of that workshop, we give them some activities where they learn to increase their listening skills, because we find that one of the things that helps resolve conflicts among kids most effectively is to give the kids a sense that their concerns have been heard. And very often, once the kids feel that their concerns have been heard, the conflict is more than halfway settled very often. And then we also give the teachers a short mediation process that they can use when individuals in their classroom do have a conflict. And if they can sit down with those kids and step by step go through this process to help the kids solve their own problem, work with them. And so they come away from those 3.5-hour session with some tools that we hope they can use in their classroom to make their classroom a more democratic place and a more peaceful place.
Kevin and Maida, I have a question for both of you. Have there been incidents where you've been able to put your conflict resolution skills to use?
I've seen bullying in school. So for bullying, you'd have to interact more with others that are being bullied so they can stand up for themselves.
And what about you, Maida?
In school, if there are rumors or gossip spreading around, I think the most effective way to deal with that is to not, like, ignore it, and also to stand up for the person, because there is power in many, and I think that standing up for them lets them believe in themselves a little bit more.
Maida, could you break down the format of your workshops?
Sure. So what happens is that the Richmond Peace Education Center tells us of these opportunities where this community group or school has asked us to come and teach these group of youths. So two youth facilitators go with one experienced adult facilitator, and we come to the group, and usually it happens in two-hour sessions. And what we do is first we like to have an icebreaker activity to start off with, like, for example, saying their names, making sure everyone knows who they are. And then we'd like to have activities. So what we would teach them skills like the iMessages, communication skills, etc. And then in between those, we would incorporate light and livelies, just so it's not a boring lecture to them, so that they'd be engaged. And we'd like to interact with them, showing that we also participate in activities, the two youth facilitators, not so that there's no hierarchy of people who are superior to others, to show that we're all equal, which is one of these values we're trying to enforce.
And what's a light and lively?
A light and lively is something like these cool, fun activities that we do that don't really tie in to what the communication techniques, but kind of get everyone mingled.
So these are activities that are meant to build trust within the group?
Yes.
And can you give me an example of an exercise that specifically addresses resolving conflicts in an effective way?
Sure. So what we'd like to do is we give different conflicts to each group, and we separate the groups, not by having the people choose their own groups, because that would leave someone secluded, and we don't like to ostracize anyone. So what we do is usually we have a pack of lollipops, and we pass them around, and whoever gets the same lollipop flavor, they'll be in a group. And so in that way, we can make sure that they're really intermingling and then, you know, kind of dissipating those boundaries, those self-boundaries that we create. And then so a way to resolve that conflict is the group puts on a skit and they present this in front of the entire youths to make them more confident, you know, to teach them more communication skills and to make them stand in front of a crowd. And then by doing so, not only do they learn effective conflict resolution skills, but they also know now how to communicate.
And the skits, do they portray typical conflicts that might happen between teens?
Yes, they are very applicable conflicts in society, in schools, etc.
Do you have some examples?
Sure. So one example would be a sibling conflict. You know, oh, you used the TV when it was my TV time. Or in school, when there's a rumor spreading around and you're at the center of it.
Kevin, you've led an exercise about bullying. Can you tell me about that?
Yes. This exercise is an activity that everyone has their own opinion on what a bully looks like. First, you would draw. You draw what you think a bully looks like, and then we interact and talk about what you drew and why you drew that. For example, someone had a bully with long hair, big feet, a really big jacket. It just gives them more opinions on what other people think of bullies and what they look like.
And after that exercise is over, what do you think people have learned?
They learned that a bully's not always what you think it is.
I think what it's trying to break down or deconstruct activity is that even though bullies have these varied and a myriad of exteriors, they kind of all have one thing in common, which is this feeling of superiority, this feeling that I am better than the others. Or it can also be the opposite, insecurity, where they don't know about themselves, and they're by attacking and pouncing on other people, they reassure themselves and feel better. So I think what Kevin is trying to say, that through his activity, even though they broke down what or had their varied opinions on what a bully looks like, they realize that all bullies are the same, and together they can actually efficiently, you know, break down these mental barriers.
Why do you think it's important for youth to teach other youth?
It is very important so everyone can interact and connect with society better and stand up for each other.
I think it's crucial because I feel like youth, when an adult is leading, I feel like they won't pay attention to it or they'll neglect the issues. But when a youth is leading, they kind of like tune in a little bit more and they see that, hey, maybe they have something to say.
It's really important to give kids the sense of empowerment that comes with this. They go out with experienced adult trainers to lead workshops for other youth. They serve as role models for these other young people, teenagers or children. And so kids learn these techniques from other young people, and I think it gives those techniques added meaning. And I think they're often more willing to accept the training that's led by a young person than it is from an adult. So that's valuable. And then simply giving the young people we work with a sense that they can solve their own problems, but also that they can make their world a better place. And that's a really important feeling to carry with you as you grow up.
Paul Flesher is assistant to the director at the Richmond Peace Education Center. Kevin Amoroso and Maida Majetti are part of the Richmond Youth Peace Project and help lead conflict resolution workshops with other students. You've been listening to Learning Curve on 88.9 WCVE. Send us your comments, questions, and topic ideas to learningcurve@ideastations.org. For Learning Curve, I'm Catherine Comp.